Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next wee while, it's the one we have been waiting for. The Switch 2 has been announced and John Reilly is going to join me to talk through it all. As always, if you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. And I'm delighted to say, sitting in front of me now, once again, is John Reilly. John, how are you?
Great, Jess. And you?
I'm good. As I said to Derek Reilly of Nouveau.ie last week on the show, the good weather makes all the difference.
Yes. Oh,
I've
God,
turned into that person now. I'm like, Jesus, isn't the weather great?
It's a pep in your step. Yeah. No, it is. Definitely. Like, because we were just in darkness for what felt like eons. Like, we had, how many days were there of no sunshine in Dublin? That, like, everyone felt that.
Yeah.
So this is giving everyone a bit of life now, yeah.
I'm going around like Snow White. Like, it's pathetic. I'm like, the birds are singing. It's fab. But aside from that, sure, look, we could have a moan, but we won't. There's so much news to talk through. I mentioned that you were coming on the show last week and we've had an awful lot of people get in touch saying you guys have been teasing and talking about and preempting a new Switch for years.
Yeah, basically.
It's finally been announced. And I don't know whether I should pre-order it or not. And this is a conversation that I've had in my house multiple times over the last whatever amount of days since the announcement. So before we give our opinion, let's talk through what we know. So when was the announcement made and what did they tell us?
Well, they kind of teased it. They basically kind of said it was coming back in February, I think. Like, there was a kind of a YouTube live that they put out, Nintendo This Is, showing the console and showing a kind of a little sneak peek at the upcoming Mario, the new Mario Kart. And then they were like, tune in on April 2nd, we'll show you a hell of a lot more. April 2nd has been and gone. We now know a hell of a lot more about the consoles, about the games that are coming, how it'll work with your old games. There's a whole lot to cover, but we don't have long to wait, which is probably the best part about all of this, is that June 5th is the official launch date for this brand new console from Nintendo. Over 8 years... 8 years since the last Switch came
out.
Wild. March 2017. Yeah, so they've got it. Like, they wringed enough as they could out of that console, selling over 150 million units. So here we are, Switch 2, kicking things off for the next generation of consoles, basically.
But is it the next generation? Now, I know technically it is, right?
Yeah.
But I think we had this conversation when we spoke about the PS5 as well, when that came out, in terms of the spec, the look and the, I suppose, workings of the device itself.
Yeah.
Is it a generational leap? Like, is it worth the wait almost?
In terms of the power, they're being very coy. They're almost like Apple. They don't really talk about processing units and benchmarks and how powerful it is. But there's no way it couldn't be more powerful. I think Nvidia, who are the company making the processor, the chip for this new Switch, have said it's 10 times as powerful, basically, which is a hell of a lot. Because I think the chip that is currently in the OG Switch is 10 years old now. So it was already old when it was put into the Switch, and now we're 10 years on. So, like, there's been 10 years of development and processing power that Nvidia are bringing to this new console. So yes, it's definitely got the brunt, the sheer kind of horsepower there to run some really powerful games.
The screen is ever so slightly larger than the original one, right?
Yeah, so it was 6.2 on the original and we're going up to 7.9. So, a nice jump and something I think a lot of people will appreciate. Anyone, especially that play, is used to using their Switch in tabletop mode, basically where you prop it up and you're trying to play two-player Mario Kart and you're squinting at this little 6.2-inch screen. This large screen, I think it's one of the biggest on any kind of handheld gaming device, even the PC devices like the Steam Decks or the ROG Allies. So this is a big jump up and it really will kind of make it more enticing to use it, not on a TV, basically.
They've also upped the internal storage as well.
Yeah, like, again, we'll get onto it, but people were worried about the different aspects that Nintendo were trying to kind of get a bit more money out of consumers. But the original Switch had 32 gigs, which was pretty measly, even for 2017 standards.
Yeah.
You're instantly buying an SD card. So here we are in 2025, and we've got 256 gigabits of storage, which is it's generous. And like, look, people will fill it. You can put in SD card, micro SD cards. They have to be the express card. Now, that's all just terminology, but it basically means you need a fast enough SD card. The one you currently have won't work in the new Switch, which isn't ideal.
I don't like that.
Yeah, but I think it's really just to give, and I'm not trying to fight their corner here, but it really is, they just, read and write speeds, again, nerdy tech terminology, but they're just not fast enough to load a game, these new titles, to play them or to be streaming the content of the data off the memory card onto the console. It's technical, but it's not ideal. You buy it once and then you'll be done. The new SD card, that is.
That is a good way to look at it. And I think if you are serious about your gaming, if you're the kind of person who's going to want to fill up the internal storage and then add some, you're probably going to suck that cost.
Yeah, and look at I think they're looking at about 50, 60 euro for another 250. So you can double the storage for 50, 60 quid. And they probably come down in price as the years go on. So I think they've kind of said the file sizes of these new games. So the new Mario Kart World, which was announced at the live stream on the 2nd of April, that's coming in at about 23 gigs. So that's one, almost a tenth of the devices, but that's a big, big title.
Yeah.
And there will be bigger titles, there's no denying. Cyberpunk, the infamous Cyberpunk 2077, is actually making its way to a Nintendo console, which is kind of the times we're living in now. And it's showing you the power of this new console too. So that's going to be a pretty meaty, probably 64 gig. I don't even know if they've actually said the exact size, but that's going to be a hearty download because it's a massive open world AAA title.
Okay, one thing I was curious about was if Nintendo would go down the route of what we saw with the bigger consoles, so with PlayStation, with Xbox, and that is having the sort of streaming version of the console and then one that used the little cartridge discs or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Have we gone down that route, or is it just you can still put the cards in, or you can download games as well?
Yeah, so you can download the titles like you used to with the old Nintendo eShop, and then obviously with the new one, you'll be able to download the digital copies. You can still buy your physical cartridges like you did with your Switch. Yeah. So you know, listeners will know themselves or their kids have those little square little what look like SD cards, basically. That's with the games on them. Those are still going to be compatible. Pretty much the vast majority of the games you own will play on the new Switch also. So there is backward compatibility, which is good. There is some kind of teething issues around. It's not the full catalogue, but you'd be probably unlucky if there's a niche game that you're a big fan of that you want to play on the new Switch. It may not be compatible. There's some weird kind of caveats that people might need to do a tiny bit of homework if they want to make sure their favourite Switch game is playable. More than likely, like the vast majority are going to be okay. But the Nintendo haven't gone into the streaming world yet. So it's not like you're going to be streaming titles to this new Switch as such. You're still going to need to like buy them from the digital store or have the physical card. You're not streaming necessarily, no.
Okay, and because I was curious if they were going to go down that route because that's kind of what we've seen elsewhere. But anyway, that's good to know. The other thing I noticed when I saw the images, it still looks like the Switch, right? You still know instantly that it's a Switch, but there are subtle differences on the Joy-Cons, which are the two controllers on either side. And then there's also a new C button.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Joy-Cons first. What's changed in terms of design and functionality there?
I think the fact that the screen is bigger means the overall dimensions of the device are bigger, which again, I think listeners or users of the original Switch will be happy to hear because they're just not, your hands won't cramp up as much or as quickly as when you're doing a long gaming session on the Switch because it's the same thickness. So if your listeners know how thin or thick their Switch currently is, this is the exact same thickness, which is kind of gives a good, but it's just basically going to be wider and taller.
Yeah.
So these new Joy-Cons, again, they clip onto the sides, but this time around it's via magnets. Rather than sliding down the famous kind of slide in the left, slide in the right, and you're connected, these kind of pop on and pop off with really strong magnets. And people were worried, they might be like, they're just going to constantly fall off.
Yeah.
But there is a release mechanism. They're like pretty industrial, these kind of magnets. You'd be really hard pushed to get these bad, from what I've seen anyway.
Yeah. And I guess time will tell and long-term use will tell as well, but with the original Switch, we've had two or three of them through our house, I think, over the years, and there was one where the Joy-Cons didn't work.
Ah, they just weren't connecting up correctly and just...
But it seemed like it was a design flaw or like an issue with the particular one that we had.
Right.
Where, because we tried putting different Joy-Cons on, and it seemed like a bit of the metal, like the chipboard thing that it connects into was misaligned.
Ah.
So the Joy-Cons wouldn't line up.
Yeah.
So that was super frustrating. So if it's magnetized, surely that would be a bit better than having the lineup for the slotting in system that existed.
Again, if your listeners kind of have a look online to see the kind of the innards of that side or the sides of the device, there is a kind of a jut out of what is a connection point. Mm. So people are, you know, it's early days. I'd imagine they're going to be as robust as possible, but they're, you know, there's always going to be outlier cases where they're like, well, I've snapped that off, haven't I? So that could be a point of contention. But right now, a lot of people I've seen online that have had some hands-on with the device say it feels a lot more robust and doesn't feel as wobbly as the original Switch. Because when you, even though you slide them in, you'd hear the click, you'd be like, that's not like fully secure.
Yeah,
there.
A tiny bit of give. Wiggle, yeah. Yeah, and I suppose what we've learned from Apple, like the MagSafe technology that they have, like is pretty, I was skeptical about that.
Yeah.
When I had an iPhone, I had one of the MagSafe little wallet things,
on the back.
Card holders on the back. And again, it was immovable unless you like went out of your way to move it kind of thing. So, okay, so that's an interesting one from the design point of view. I saw something about a mouse.
Yeah. That's basically with these Joy-Cons on the innards, again, on the kind of the thin section that connects to the device. If you pop them off and put them vertically onto a table, like as if they're a little thin mouse you're holding in your hand, they have optical sensors. So basically like your little desktop mouse.
No way.
So you can use it like a little mouse to slide around on your desk, on your lap. It doesn't have to be a flat surface technically. Well, you know, it does have to be flat surface, but you don't have to be sitting at a desk.
Yeah.
Technically, you can use your leg basically.
Yeah.
So this will give you kind of greater levels of control in like a first person shooter game. Like PC gamers know all about this.
Yeah,
they use their mouse, they use their keyboard, and they're kind of using the mouse to kind of aim in first person mode. And then there's other little quirky titles. I think it was, I can't think of the name. It was almost like an accessibility highlight of the showcase. They had this wheelchair-looking title, or a title of like futuristic wheelchair users that you would use the mouse interactions of the controllers, and you'd be sliding left, sliding right, as if you were pulling the wheels of a wheelchair.
Ah, no way.
And then you were playing basketball in these wheelchairs, kind of a futuristic version of basketball, like they would at the Special Olympics. And they're, so it was kind of like this inclusivity angle to the presentation. The people appreciated it. But again, the jury is still out on how fun that game actually is, because there's a lot of physical exertion.
Yeah.
You're doing what you're doing,
But that's, okay, so because when I read initially about the mouse functionality, my brain just couldn't
it's not a PC,
how it would work. But that is cool.
Yeah.
You alluded to the titles, the launch titles.
Yeah.
And now, this is something that some of the forums that I ended up on, you know, when you end up clicking down a rabbit hole, some people were really, really excited and others were utterly disgusted. So talk us through what we know so far.
Yeah, so I think the big showcase of the day when they launched the kind of, when they really did that that YouTube video or YouTube live, was the new Mario Kart World. Mm. So I was talking to someone earlier, I was like, it's actually been about 11 years since a new Mario Kart game had come out, because people were like, wait, didn't a new one come out on the Switch when that launched? I was like, it did, but that was just them rehashing one that came out on the Wii U and was a flop, because the Wii U just didn't sell. So they remastered it, or they rehashed it, and they tidied it all up and brought it out as Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yes.
So that's 11 years now since we got a new Mario Kart. Here we are, 2025, a new launch title coming to the Switch 2 exclusively. You cannot play this on your original Switch.
Mm.
And that's like an open world Mario Kart almost. It does look very impressive.
You can't play it on the original Switch.
No.
What a swizz.
Well, that's how they get you to buy a new console. It's a console exclusive. Oh, she's mad. It's a console exclusive. Yeah, that's sure. That's what they're napping people with. You want to play a new Mario Kart, you're buying a new Switch. You can't. It's just, I'm looking at it and the kind of the technicalities of how they've made this whole open world aspect of the game. It's kind of never seen before in a Mario Kart title. Just would not be possible on the original. It just looks like it's too advanced. It's too graphically intensive. It's a whole world that they would try and fit onto the, you know, I just don't think it would. I think it would look awful if they tried to force it onto the original Switch. Maybe they could, but here we are. They're making this.
So annoyed.
Yeah.
Snakes.
So you're not going to have to, you're going to have to pre-order, aren't you?
I'm going to have to pre-order.
Yeah. So that was a big one.
Yeah, but some people weren't happy, though, 'cause I think they were expecting a little bit more.
Yeah, I guess I was expecting a new 3D Mario title, because, again, I was a big fan of Super Mario Odyssey, launched, again, kind of about 6 months after the original Switch launch. So I think it was October 2017 was when we got the new Mario title. So we're coming up on, again, 8 years since we've had a brand new 3D Mario title. That, you know, these are the system sellers, and I was kind of holding out hope that we get, like, the last video of the event was going to be this new Mario. But actually, it was a new Donkey Kong bonanza title. So it looks like what I've been reading online is that they're focusing on the different IPs or the different intellectual properties that Nintendo own. You know, yeah. They're going into the Super Mario movie made over $1 billion. They're making Super Mario theme parks all over the world. Donkey Kong is getting his own theme park section. So this is an IP that kind of went a bit quiet on the Switch over the last 8 years. A couple of remasters. Here we are. They got a brand new 3D Donkey Kong title, and it looks like a bit of crack. It looks very creative, very Nintendo-like. That's coming out about 6 weeks later after the launch. That's like the middle of July that's coming out. I'm excited for that. And yeah, the big thing, going back to my point about the power of this console, there seems to be way more third-party interest. And I mean, like, developers that never usually made games for the Switch because it just wasn't powerful enough.
Yeah, okay.
Here we are. This is a much more powerful handheld console. Mm. We're getting Cyberpunk on here. We're getting Ubisoft titles. We're getting EA titles. We're getting From Software, is a famous Japanese developer. They made Elden Ring, one of the most popular games of the last number of years. Hugely successful. That's coming to the Switch too. That's a big win for people that never got the chance to play it on the older consoles. So yeah, we're going to see a lot more third-party development happening on this Switch, given its power.
Okay. So I'm so annoyed about the Mario. I can't even get over it. So just talk us through. So you said June 5th is launch date. Is this going to be another hoo-ha in terms of getting your paws on one?
I think they really are trying their best to negate the scalpers, the people that are buying them just to upsell you on Amazon or eBay or whatever it may be. So there is the Irish Nintendo store that if you, and again, it seems kind of, what would you call it, dystopian or a bit Aurelian, but they're like, we'll only give you options to pre-order if you've played a certain amount of hours on your Nintendo console, just to prove you're a gamer, if you are signed up to our newsletter, if you are paying for the Nintendo Switch Online subscription to show that you're not just cashing it and you're trying to get it at the last second and you want to kind of buy it and fleece someone else. So people are appreciating this aspect to it, but that's just that's one avenue or one channel you can try and get your pre-orders in. Smiths are doing it.
Yeah.
That's where I pre-ordered. I did that online. They had a bit more stock there during the week. I don't know what the stock levels are right now as of recording. Curry's were doing it, but I think you had to go in store to take it to place a pre-order.
I got an email from Curry's on Tuesday. It was a press release of them saying that you could pre-order it now. And it said in the email that you could head in store or register your interest online. But then when I went online, it just sent me to the map to find my nearest store.
Yeah, that's kind of...
So I think you do have to go in store to do it that way.
That's the way I saw as well when I was doing my research for this piece, that it was just kind of, this is your local store, go in and kind of place your... I don't know if there's a deposit as such. I saw some people saying €25, but I'm not sure if that's still the case. But yeah, Smith's, I said, we're letting people do it online. I got my pre-order in and... Yeah, I think hopefully this time around we're no longer in COVID, the C word, and kind of demand. I think Nintendo don't want to I think when the Wii came out in 2006 or whenever it was, there was a huge demand for that. It was the Christmas toy of the season, and it was impossible to get. So fingers crossed that people that want to pick it up in June can pick it up in June.
Okay, let us know, have you or will you pre-order it? You can email us techtalk@newstalk.com. John's going to stay with me because when we come back here on News Talk, we're going to talk through yet another new phone.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. John Riley of TheEffect.net is still with me. Before the break, we were talking about the new Nintendo Switch. There's been an awful lot of hype about it for quite a long time.
We didn't mention the price, actually, unfortunately.
Oh, go on. What
apologies.
Is the price?
Yeah, it was $469.99. Just, I know listeners will be like, I love the sound of all that Switch stuff, but that's what we're looking at for the console on its own. And then you're looking at €510 if you want to bundle the new Mario Kart in with it. So...
And that, again, is exclusive to...
Exclusive to the new Switch.
Okay, as I said before the break, if you're going to pre-order it, let me know. I do think there's been a lot of hype. I think there's a lot of excitement. I don't know. Like, unless you're a hardcore gamer, are you going to be pre-ordering it?
No, most of the Switches would have been families buying it for their kids who just wanted to play the latest Mario Kart. And kids use it all the time. They're kind of playing Minecraft on it. So... It's for people like me, the gaming nerds that want a bit more powerful Switch, want to play titles that you can't play anywhere else.
And God forbid you don't have the latest version.
The FOMO will be horrendous. That is,
I can tell you now.
It scared the crap. You were having the conversations in your house with your significant other. I was having them with myself, going, do I need it? I don't need it. No, don't do it. Do it. Do it. You're going to miss out. So
yeah, we had that conversation multiple times over the last few days of like, I think I really need it. I really, do you think we do need it? And I got to the stage where I've just had to like ban it being a conversation.
Oh yeah, Claire, my wife, was just like, just shut up. But you're going to buy it, aren't you? Just buy it.
But this is the thing. I know that on the 5th of June when I go home from work, it'll be in my house. Yeah. Whether
he's
I
deluding
buy it
no
or
one.
He buys it, like it's going to be there.
Yeah.
But again, I'd love to know your thoughts. Before we jump on to the phones.
Yes.
There is a bit of news about Assassin's Creed Shadows.
Yeah, that's just a title we haven't really, I think we've touched on it over the last couple of months and it kind of had its big launch there. It was delayed out of last year, the end of last year, just to give it a bit more time in the oven, basically, to tidy it up. Ubisoft were kind of up against it in delivering a hit because they had some titles that didn't really deliver last year, like Star Wars Outlaws. So here we are in March 2025, just gone. And finally, the new Assassin's Creed title, Assassin's Creed Shadows, made its way onto the new consoles and onto PC, and I have had a blast playing it. I absolutely love it. It's set in feudal Japan. You play as two different characters. You can be like a little shinobi, a bit more stealthy, a bit more in line with what Assassin's Creed is known for, or you can be a bit more aggressive as a giant kind of Yakuza. Oh, his name is Yakusei. Make sure I get that right. Yeah, Yasuke. Yeah, he's a bit more of a brunt of a samurai. That kind of, he's based on a historical figure. He was like a black man in China or in Japan that was just seen. He was total and obvious outsider back in the 16th century, I think it was. But it's just his own backstory. Naoe is the female protagonist in this title. You play as one or the other. You can swap between them. And the visuals are just knockout. Like, this is like the first time an Assassin's Creed title has launched on just next gen, or what is now obviously current gen.
Yeah.
It just didn't come to the last gen consoles, and it's really showing itself off in a really visually stunning way. I was playing it on the PS5 Pro, the most powerful PlayStation now and the most powerful home console, because I haven't gone onto the PC gaming side of things at all, but I've had a fantastic time. My review is up on the effect.net and people can check it out. But yeah, it's so immersive, and I know that term is thrown around a lot, but like, you really just forget about, you know, that this is a game. You get stuck into the world has been kind of developed with such detail and such life that they have it passes through the seasons. You go from winter to summer to autumn. The winds kick up, there's storms, there's rain, there's really gripping narrative. I don't know if your listeners watched Shogun on Disney Plus. That's like a really gritty, award-winning kind of feudal Japan drama. This game is basically like interactive Shogun. So yeah, it's a really good title.
Yeah, this is another example, or what I'm getting from what you're saying is that it's another example of a title that's almost movie-esque,
yeah,
in terms of the level of attention of detail that has gone in, and the fact that you pick up on things like the wind blowing and stepping into puddles. I always find like if you step into a puddle in a game and you kind of get that sensation,
ripple effect,
reaction,
it's
stunning. Okay, so that is a solid recommendation. We want to talk about two new phones. Let's start with the Google Pixel 9a, because you and I are big fans of the Pixel range. I'm still using the Pixel 9 Pro. It is the Pro version, and I absolutely love it. I have to say, it's without question my favourite phone. But the A version has always been a really accessible way to get people into the Pixel ecosystem without costing an arm and a leg. So let's just run through what is the key spec of this one.
Yeah, so this has just made its way to the Irish market. I think it's going to be kind of available here from April 14th onwards. So this new one, as you said, is the 9A, A for accessibility, like you just mentioned, or is A for affordability. That bit more cost friendly. You're getting a 6.3-inch OLED Actua display, so Google's kind of display technology being included here. You do have the Tensor G4 chip, which is the chip you are currently using in your 9 Pro. So the top of the line chip has made its way to the 9A range, which is really impressive and really good to see that they're not kind of skimping out on the processing power. You've got a 60 to 120 hertz display. You've got dual cameras on the back. We always love our Pixel cameras.
Yeah.
That's a 48 megapixel main shooter with a good f-stop 1.4, and then you're going down to a 13 megapixel for the ultra wide lens. Good Corning Gorilla Glass, really bright display, up to 1800 nits, so you can definitely use this, 2700 nits of peak brightness, so no problem using this outside in the sun. And yeah, this is actually the Pixel phone with the biggest battery ever. So they've,
it's wild.
What they've done here, and a lot of people have asked for this for the last number of years on any phone, is that stop giving me phones with thin bodies but big camera bumps. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, look at my thin. It's like, no, your camera bump is enormous. So Google have just thickened the phone out. So yeah. Not only is the camera bump non-existent, so that famous kind of Google Pixel visor kind of bump at the back of its phone, that strip is no longer there. So it's a tiny little circle or kind of oblong pill shape for the two lenses I just, or the two cameras I just mentioned. And there's a 5,100 milliamp hour battery inside this new Pixel 9a. That just goes days and days and days. I'm currently in the middle of my review, or working on my review for it, and it's just, the battery's just knockout.
Yeah, and it's 600 quid.
Yeah, well, 560 euro.
It's insane.
Yeah, the value there, 559 from April 14th, get you 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage, and the battery just goes on and on. So, yeah.
And it's funny because I'm in the middle of my review of it as well, and using it, because I still have the Pixel 8a.
Yes.
And seeing the generational leap from the 8 to the 9, because sometimes, you know, we often talk about it, like it's very hard to talk about these things and whatever.
Yeah.
But the difference in the camera,
yeah,
you can really, really see it. And the battery life is just insane. I do think if you're looking for a good mid-priced phone, like a few years ago, this would have been a high-end phone.
This would be flagship.
The spec that you just read out there now.
That battery alone, like, yeah.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously we're very excited about it. I'll have the full review on the Pat Kenny Show next week, I want to say, but sure, who knows with me. Another one that you want to talk about is the Oppo Reno 13 Pro.
Yes. So again, I've been a big fan of the Oppo range. And as I said, I think we spoke about the Find X8 Pro that came out there at the end of last year. Really lovely device. Oppo doesn't put too much of a skin on what is Android. Mm-hmm. So it's a clean experience, but it's still kind of intuitive and friendly. So here, their Reno range, R-E-N-O, is kind of more, again, mid-level, entry-level, upper mid-level, basically. Mm-hmm. So this is the Reno 13 Pro. So this is a really, really impressive. Like, I think the screen on this alone is stunning, because the bezels, again, nobody really cares. But when you have it in your hand and you're looking at how kind of expansive the screen is, that the bezels are basically non-existent, so you're getting a very premium looking and premium feeling device in this, what is a mid-range bracket price point. You've got a MediaTek Dimensity 8350 processor. Doesn't really matter, it's going to do you the world of good. It works. Again, it's hard to buy a bad phone, because that's just going to fly. You're getting 12 gigabytes of RAM, half a gig of storage, which is a huge amount of storage. Mm. Oh, sorry, 512 gigabits of storage, should I say. That's, yeah. The display is a big old 6.8 inch AMOLED. Again, goes all the way up to 120 hertz refresh rate. On the back, you've got triple camera setup. A 50 megapixel, 8 megapixel kind of ultra wide, and another 50 megapixel telephoto. You got 50 megapixel on the front. And I mentioned the Pixel 9a's battery at 5100 milliamp hours. This is 5800 milliamps.
So this is
enormous battery. This just goes, again, people are getting 2-3 days out of this. I've been playing with it. My review is on theeffect.net, and I just love not worrying about battery anymore on these devices.
Yeah, do you know, it's funny. I don't know if it's just me being bad with the phone or what, but I found, like, so my phone right now, the Pro version of the Pixel 9 that I mentioned.
Yep.
So I'm on 61% and I've had it on a charger. So it was 100% by the time I left the house this morning. I just don't seem to be getting a full day out of it.
Ooh. And how's your brightness? Is it all the way up? I know the sunny weather, I might have to crank up the brightness.
No, it's usually kind of like midway through.
Okay.
So yeah, I just, it's funny because
you use it a lot, obviously.
I do use it a lot. And
you're
like
a heavy user, yeah.
I don't walk anywhere without looking at my phone and whatever, which I know is really bad, but it's my office, like,
yes,
it's my portable office.
Yeah.
So that is something that, it's the first time in a while I've kind of had that battery anxiety.
Okay.
So slightly. Now again, that's me and my usage. So having a battery of that capacity,
they're all, and it seems, it's really interesting, because it's the more mid-range devices that are kind of testing these new battery spec or battery technology.
You don't need to be spending 1700 quid on a phone. Like, no. I know that we love talking about them we love playing with them, but like, if this phone got run over by a bus in the morning, I would go out and buy one of those two that you've just mentioned there. Yeah. What's the price on the Oppo one? Do we have?
So it's a bit more expensive. It's 799. So again, it's that upper, it's mid to upper mid-range. So you're looking, you're between, obviously between the 500 and the 1000 euros. So you're coming in at 800. 100 euro. We're just waiting on confirmation of the stockist, but it'll probably be available online anyway via the Oppo store.
Yeah.
But yeah, 799. But Jesus, you couldn't go wrong with that battery and those cameras. And it's made it like it's got this glass back, kind of frosted back on it. It just feels the part.
Yeah.
Basically, they've done a really good job. I'm really impressed with this, Reno 13 Pro. Yeah.
I love when like different brands come out, so it's not just the same two cameras all the time. It kind of makes it a bit more exciting, because we had a conversation, was it last year, where we literally like, it's like nobody's going to play a violin for us, but it is hard sometimes when you have to talk about the new whatever brand phone and it's the same stuff time and again.
Yeah, I've just got just as I came on air, I got a Nothing phone. I don't know if you've seen this brand.
Yeah, so we reviewed the Nothing ear stick, the headphones.
Oh yes, they're meant to be knockout. Yeah. So I've just got the Nothing 3A, which is available here in Ireland. My review will be coming in a couple of weeks and we might talk about it again, but that now is like the definition of standing out from the crowd. It's got these like LED strips on the back. It doesn't sound as naff as I'm describing it, or doesn't look as naff as I'm describing it, but it just looks really different, really unique.
The whole thing with Nothing is that they strip away all of the branding and the add-ons. So with the headphones, for example, you could see through them.
Yeah.
Like it's the clear
casing. This is the same as the phone.
Just trying to strip it right back. Okay, you'll have to come back in a few weeks and talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, John Riley of TheEffect.net. As always, thanks a million.
Cheers, Jess.
That's it from me this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. I'll be back with Shane and Kira on Monday's News Talk Breakfast. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.